Thank you very much, the Holy Bishop Eddie Adi. What a blessing. Please be seated. Sit on top of your enemies and be happy in the Lord. All this Bishop E.A.T.S.A., he brought it to me. I was called E.A.T.S.A. straight away. Now, everywhere I go, when I say E in the whole church, I say, who? He started all these problems. What a shock. It's a blessing, amen. I feel greatly honored by this beautiful introduction. I want to say that all that Bishop Adi said about me are true. Everything he said about me is very, very true by the grace of God. Anyway, the good news I will have to tell you is that my iPad is dying. So when it dies, you have ended the meeting. All right, it's I think I have 20%. There's power bank. Oh, and this here too, unfortunately, you don't have Doomsaw because I have generator. So whatever I do, the iPad can be charged. What a shock. But it's trying to die. Anyway, so I want to say it's a blessing and an honor that I can be with you and share with you what, by the grace of God, the little that we know, and trusting that as we learn and as we, you know, there's a verse of scripture that comes to my mind. Let me just find it. Okay. Yeah. But it's a blessing and an honor indeed. I feel greatly honored that my bosom friend and brother, Bishop Eddie Adi, would invite me to come and speak to such noble and outstanding ministers of the gospel. Amen. I said amen. Yeah. Oh, don't think you're the one I'm talking about. You're the one I'm talking about. Amen. I feel that it's a great thing. There's a scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 9. It said, those things which ye have both learned, number 1, and received, number 2, and heard, number 3, and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. No, in every any time we gather like this, there are 4 things that you must always remember. What are you learning? What are you receiving? What are you hearing? And what are you seeing? These are the things that must impact your life. If you go to Bible school, you learn, how can 2 people sit in Bible school, one will do well and the other not do well? In the exams, they will do well. Good to see you. Your brother is a good man. Very, very good man. You know that? Yeah. A very good son God has given me. I mean, your younger brother. Where is he? I see. Okay. Beautiful. All right. So I'm saying that if you go to the Bible, you see people sitting. And somebody comes out to excel. You see pastors trained, shepherds trained. Somebody does well, another doesn't do well. What is it? We're all on the same tutelage, the same person teaches them and all that. But you see, there are 4 things in that scripture. He says that those things which you have learned. So in teaching you learn, am I right? And then you also receive. It's not everything you learn, some things you receive them. There are difference between receiving and learning. Do you understand? Yeah. You don't learn anointing, you receive an anointing. So as you learn, may you also receive as well. Yeah. Are you with me? Some of us, we carry one of these things away, and then it becomes like if in a certain charismatic circles, you only believe in receiving, impartation, you are receiving, but you also must learn how it is done. So learning is important, receiving is also important. I don't know whether you're coming along with me. I'm just saying this as a foundation. That the reason of our gathering
You see, like we all know, the Bible says all things work together. Am I right? So it must work to you. Your learning is important. You must learn how to shepherd. You must learn how to be a pastor. You must learn how to look after people. You must learn it. I don't know what I'm saying. Learn it. It's not just, you don't just receive it. So learn. And then there are others, and then the receiving aspect is also there. And then he said that what you have also heard and then seen in me, that some things that you hear, you are not being taught, but you are hearing it. If you walk with Bishop Adi, you ask me or say you're walking with him, you see him talking to people and so on. You are hearing things. It's not intended for you, but when you hear them, learn from it. Let something affect you. Do you understand? And then what you also see being done. So the ministry is about seeing, about hearing, about learning, and about receiving. That will make you a complete minister. I don't know whether you're coming along with me. You become complete when you have learned how to deal with people. You have received an anointing. I remember several years ago when a prophet asked that I should handle the church, the headquarters, and because he was going to get more involved in crusades and so on. Jadu would tell you, I fought. He said, no. I don't want to do it at all. I want to do is to assist and whatever. And so I said, handle, take the church and do it. Then I traveled and I went to, I was living in this guy's house, one of our pastor's house for, I think I was there for a week or two. And early morning, about 2 a.m. or so, 3 a.m., I'm not somebody who dreams a lot. I can count about 4 or 5 major dreams in my life. One of them is this one. We're in a room. I saw ourselves in a room, like a boardroom with a lot of senior pastors and great men of God. But I just happened to be among the great people. I wasn't great. I'm not great. But I just happened to be in the... That's what I'm saying. So we're all sitting there. And then, like this beautiful cathedral, then the door just opened. And so I think we're waiting for somebody like Yembe Cho. So as we waited, we're just chatting among ourselves, waiting for the main speaker to come. Then the door opened. So we all thought it was Yembe Cho. So everybody stood up. Then when we looked, it was a tall angel, huge angel, carrying a coat. Can I take your coat? Yes. I hope it's not second hand. All right. No, the way you are, you don't buy second hand things. What a shock. Anyway. So, the angel was holding a coat like this and walking into the building. So, when we saw the angel, huge angel, everybody froze. I said, what's going on here? The place was quiet. And the angel walked to somebody and put the coat on. Can you stand? Put the coat on him. When the angel put the coat on, the angel moved back and took the coat off the gentleman. Sit down. And then angel moved to another person who was much bigger than the coats. Who is bigger than this coat? Neil, sir. He put the coat on the person and it didn't fit again. So we all kept on. Bruce was quiet. The angel walked to where I was and put the coat on me. And the angel moved back and looked and came forward and adjusted the coat. And he said, you have received the mantle to look after God's people. And this is, I don't know how many, several years ago at Kolegono. Now, after that, I came back and told Bishop that the assignment that he is giving me, I've received it graciously. Can I have an amen? No, I'm saying that there are some things that you receive, but there's some things that you also learn. Now, if you don't learn, you will never do well as a shepherd or as a leader, because you can receive something, but if you don't work on it, the thing will just fizzle out. So I pray that God will be gracious to us. Somebody say amen. I pray that God will be kind to us. that this evening, and especially as you prepare for the Church Growth Conference, I really pray that everybody will be part of this conference that is coming up. Say amen.
Yes.
Because very anointed men of God, experienced men of God, coming to speak to you. So I don't know why on earth you, the church is organizing that you will not be here. If you don't come, it's a message. I don't know what you hear I'm saying. So I'm just preparing us for the conference that is going to come. But I pray that this evening, the things we talk about and the little experiences that we'll share and various windows that would open up, try and look through, will bring some direction to our lives. I thought you would say amen.
Amen.
So, what are we doing now? We are talking about church growth. We are talking about how to grow the ministry. And it is not easy. That is why Bishop wrote the book, Church Growth is Possible. You know, it is possible, but it is not easy. That must be registered in all of us, our hearts. Let all those who are sleeping say amen.
Yes.
Very good. Make sure you stay awake. Are you there? Right. It is not easy at all, any way you look at it, and so on. And without being purposeful and intentional, you will never see a certain level of growth in your ministry. You have to be purposeful and intentional. I always tell people that I never go for church service without having a target in my mind. Every church service I have, when I meet some of my guys in Brazil or anywhere, I tell them, how many people are we expecting? What are the targets? What is the aim? I'm always looking for it. I don't attend any meeting without a target group in my mind and a certain number. Even if you don't get there, I have something in my mind. So as a pastor, a shepherd, you must always think ahead of the meeting that is coming up. Are you still here? When we look at, we have these beautiful books that our prophet has written for us, the mega church, which is hopefully we are familiar with. Hopefully many of us have passed the exam. So you have learned, but what did you receive? I met a pastor in Swaziland who told me that he and his wife and his another colleague who became his assistant pastor got hold of this book. And they stayed in their living room and prayed. And they studied it chapter after chapter. The time I was speaking to him, I went to his church. There were more than 3,000 people sitting in the church. And he said that the only book he has read over the past number of years is Mega Church. And he tried to implement every little thing that he sees in the book. And it has blessed him. He said the only book, apart from the Bible, the only book he has read is this book. So it shows that the value that people place on the book. Do you understand what I'm saying? That somebody has placed a value. Now, when he said that, I have to go and dig the book myself again. I realized that maybe I've not taken as seriously as I ought to. Because this man has 3,000 people sitting in his church that I could count, all of them. The church was full and all. 3,000. And he said, this is the only book he has read over a period of years, over a number of years. So, is it that we do not value the sort of material we have? Is it that we learn that we don't receive something? Because there must be an impartation. Apart from learning, impartation that comes into our lives, that changes our lives and ministry. And all of us must have that determination that I am content, but I am not satisfied. Yeah. Contentment is great gain. But satisfaction is being full of your feeling that it's okay. So you can be contented where you are, but don't be satisfied. Okay. You must tell yourself, no way. I am not going to accept 25 members again. I'm not going to accept 62 members again. There must come a time where I say, no way, I will not accept it. You know, if you don't get that aggressive, if you don't get serious and you have a certain determination, you're not going to get that miracle. Remember what Jacob's wife, Genesis 30? Rachel, Bible says that she had a husband and said, give me children or I die. That was how serious she was. Said, listen, I've married you for a while. I believe in God for a child, and I will not live without a child. Give me children or I die. God, let's find the scripture and put it up. God 30 and verse 1. Very good. Now, you see, God wants you to get to the place of where you say, I will not accept this anymore. I cannot come to a church where there is never a new person in the church. So if you had services and there was not even one new person in the church service, and you are able to have lunch after the service, I don't know why you are being quiet. No, I'm serious. If we are serious about church growth, we are serious about building the church that God wants us to build, there are some things that you must not accept them. I don't accept a service where there's not even one new person. How can I have a Sunday service? Oh, you don't get what I'm saying? A Sunday service, not one new person is in the church. And I'm the pastor of the church. When I say new person, I mean a first timer. Everybody has been to the church before. It must not happen in our churches. Can I have a loud amen? You can ask this gentleman, when we said the Kadesh, we used to have every week 150 new people every week. 100 new people every week. A week after week. And I will not accept a certain number. I will not. And if we have time, we are going to get into it. But this meeting is a very serious meeting. This is different from the morning service. Are you still here? So I want you, if you're ready, I want you to listen and listen well. Very, very well. Maybe this book that has changed the pastor's church, not changed, even the pastor started, and now 3,000, maybe we don't know this book well. We passed the exam, but we don't understand it. That is why it's not working for us. That is why we are not seeing the results we ought to see. I want you to sit here this evening with a certain determination in your heart. Yes. When Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or I die. That was Rachel. In other words, I'm not going to accept this condition again. You must come to a place where you are this condition, I will not take it again. I will not take it again. Say amen.
Amen.
Are you awake?
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
We need to get to that point where you see, you can be so burdened with church growth and increase that you don't even enjoy the church as a pastor. I'm telling you.
Yes.
You can't enjoy it. Because your heart is that I'm looking for souls. And what to bring the growth is not just, you see, the other day a pastor called me and a bishop called me and he told me how excited he was that he had been transferred to go and handle a branch, because he told me how all these years he had been assisting in the church, but finally he had been transferred to go and handle a branch himself, to be the man of God of the organization, to go and be the senior pastor.
Yes.
And he told me that, Bishop, I love to preach. So friend, I have the chance to preach. Then I sent him a response. I said, do you love to preach or you love the people you have been called to preach to?
Okay.
Sometimes we love to preach, but we don't love the people we have been called to preach to.
Oh.
That is a world of difference. That was my response to him. I said, do you just love to preach? Or you love the people? You see, if you love the people you have been called to, it doesn't matter even the nonsense you preach. The church is going to work. Because haven't you seen ministers that you don't even understand what they say? But the church is growing. You see, loving the people you have been called to preach to is different from loving to preach. And many of us, we gather people, we do that because we love to preach. But do you really love the people you have been called to preach to? That is a world of difference. And I pray for you, whether you are a center leader, basanta leader, you are a pastor, whatever you are doing, ask yourself, what do you like to do? One person said that, I want people to gather, and call, so when they gather, they can call me to preach. What a shock. I don't know what they are saying. I don't know whether that pastor is still here. He knows himself. I think I saw him this morning. Kato Shaka Bahataya. Are you there? So this one talks about 25 reasons why you must have a mega church. Beautiful. And then how to measure your growth. All these things, I'm just measuring them to you so that you would be able to, something will be triggered inside of you. Say amen. Amen. Again, it talks about how you can receive the anointing. How to understand the anointing, steps of anointing, and how to carry through the ministry and all that. How to start a church. I read this chapter several times because I've had to start churches. And I have to learn how to start a church. And how to fight for commitment. It's all here. How to develop devoted members and all that. Retention, evangelism, and all that. Anyway, there's just one of the books that when the pastor told me how it has changed his life, I was excited. Church planting is also here. And I'm sure during the Church Growth Conference, we are going to learn many, many more things from them. Now, church growth, it is possible. It's also here. Say amen.
Amen.
Your church can grow.
Amen.
And your church will grow.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
One day I heard Bishop Oyedepo say, it is not a big deal for God to double your church. When I heard him say this, I was in Nigeria, then I gathered my few guys working. I told them, it's not a big deal for God to double our church. Within a month, our church doubled. By the grace of God. Within a month, because I stood and taught them and I made it enter our spirit that it is not a big deal. God is able to do it. Somebody say amen. Are you still in church? Yeah, when just for just under 1 year, by the grace of God, by the time we're out of just one service, we had more, almost 700 people gathering for a Sunday service. Now, it is not that I have a special, not that I'm so, but I have to believe it, that the church can work. And whatever we need to apply to make it work, we are going to make it work. And you must believe it with me. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
That your church can work. Oh, Bojo! No feet washing. Mato Saka Bataya. Your church can work. Your church must work. And it will work. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. I used to travel with you. Where did we go? South Africa. Yes. Just called him. I'm going to preach. Let's go. And he came along. Just let's be there and let's be happy. See how churches work. Amen?
Amen.
And your church must work. You must come to a point where you cannot sleep over your church. Look, if something doesn't enter into you, you have a comfortable sleep every night. You don't have a certain uneasiness. Sometimes I can get so almost over worried about my church. Because I'm not happy to see 50 converts. I'm not happy to see them. I'm only 50 giving their life to Christ. I want to see more than that. I don't want to get to a place where I'm so satisfied with what I have, such that I lose a certain desire, a certain uneasiness over the church. I don't know if you're hearing me. So we are going to look at the practical things. This one, the double mega church, is one of the most profound books that our prophet has written. Amen. It is like elaboration of the mega church. And this book, if you take this book seriously, it talks about the campaigns. The campaigns that we must implement to what? Why? You look at the screen is nicer than me, you see. Because people are looking behind me. I keep on watching and seeing who is there. I think that guy is handsome, isn't he? So you like that guy in the screen. But when I'm looking, they're always looking behind. I say, what's happening? When I turn, then the face is also looking somewhere. Which I want to watch you, boy. Anyway. So, if only we will be able to understand and catch the message, the campaign that has been elaborated, I mean, detailed out for us. If we can understand it, let it enter our spirit, our churches will change. How many of us are ready for the change that we expect? I didn't see your hand at all. So the way you lifted your hand so slowly, it shows that you are not really keen about it. What a shock. But God will help us. And God must help us. We've got to say, give me children or I die. That's where I've come to. Give me church growth or I die. I'm looking for souls. That is my heart. Restlessness, sleeplessness. Amen. I said amen. Yeah, so if you have time, if you only can find the time and go through the campaigns. I told one of my pastors that we should, all the few people that we have in Brazil, the few ship, we're going through all the campaigns again. Twice a week, Thursday night, early Sunday morning, we go through this book chapter by chapter so that we can implement the campaigns that we have seen them happening. We have seen it working in First Love Church. We have seen it working. We have seen grace be multiplied. Things have been written for us. My prayer is that we'll take it very seriously. Can I have a loud amen?
Amen.
Are you so in church?
Yeah.
All right. So quickly, I'm going to just mention a few things. And maybe a few topics, a few discussions, and a few practical things that we intend we would have to implement. The first thing is that, you see, look at the ministry of Jesus. How Christ-like is your ministry to Jesus' soul? Is your ministry Christ-like? Jesus, Nios, are you there? Beautiful. Look at a scripture in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 25. Matthew chapter 4, verse 25. You have the Living Bible there? The Living Bible. Okay. It said, okay, large crowds, this is an NLT, large crowds followed him wherever he went. I see large crowds around you.
Amen.
You must receive this way. Large, somebody say large crowds.
Large crowds.
I didn't hear you.
My
prophet Archbishop. What a blessing. Bible says large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, and all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. Now, nobody should say that the reason why my church is not working well is because of location. I don't have a good location. Never say that. Jesus' church was in the wilderness. John the Baptist was in the wilderness. And people gathered there. So your location is not the reason why your church is not working. Are you still here? Bible says that large crowds followed him. The Living Bible says enormous crowds followed. Mark chapter 12, verse 37. Mark 12, 37. It said what? Mark 12, 37. It says, since David himself called the Messiah my Lord, how can the Messiah be his son? The large crowd listened to him with great delight. Amen. They listened to him with what? They were excited to listen to him. In Yorba Center, little group of 12 or 9, when you are preaching, they are sleeping. When you go and call them, they are dodging. What is the reason? Ask all your neighbors here and put the ask him, tell me why are they sleeping in your meetings? Why are they sleeping when you are preaching? Why are they sleeping when you are preaching? The large crowd listened to him with delight. May people listen to us with delight. Come on, shout amen. May they listen to us with excitement. May they want to hear you minister and teach them. Amen. They were excited to listen to him. They were happy to hear him preach. And large crowds. I see it happening in Macarius. Amen. Oh, you didn't say amen at all. Amen. Are we still here? Yes. Now, it's the King James says multitudes in many of the places. So, what did Jesus do? How did Jesus attract the crowd? What did Jesus do to bring many more people into his ministry? I just give you these few points and then we carry on to some of the other things that we need to know. Jesus, how did Jesus attract, Jesus means to attract people? We must learn from the master. Say amen. You must learn from them how more than 5,000 people will follow him. For 3 days, they follow him. How, when he arrives, the whole place is full. I see it happen around us in Jesus' name. When Jesus gets to the town, within hours, days, the whole town has changed. And we are following Jesus. May that anointing come upon us. I said, may that anointing come upon us. Are you still there? Man will be prophet. May we receive grace from the Lord.
Amen.
Your church will change.
Amen.
Your church will grow.
Amen.
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 Jesus' ministry attracted people because he loved people. That is one of the most important things you must know about his ministry. He loved people. He met their needs. And then he taught them with interesting and practical examples. He loved people. Do you love people? Do you love them? Do you say yes? Do you love people? Do you really love people? Nana, why are you laughing? You know, you think I'm getting on your case. Don't worry. Do you love people? Ask your neighbor, do you love people? What is the answer? Doctor, do you love people? Do you love your husband? Very much. Do you love people?
I'm trying.
As for your husband, you're sure. The rest, you are trying. What a shock. Do we really love people? There's no replacement for love. That's why I told the pastor, do you love the people you are preaching to? Or you love to preach? Because as for the message, they are there. You can take the book. It's how to serve the Lord. You can chapter it, preach it with energy and life. They'll be happy. Do you understand? And yourself, you know that you are preaching well. You are preached. And then they'll come for you. But it will not affect them. Yeah. Are you still there? The man with the punk. Are you with me? What a shock. No, I'm asking you. You see, Jesus really loved people. And that is one of the things that we often lack in our church. And I'm going to show you very shortly why, how we don't love people the way we claim we love them. And then also, what is the second one? Jesus met their needs every time. Can you imagine? Bible said that the large crowd followed him. 5,000 men followed him. And what did Jesus tell the disciples? He told them, feed them. Give them bread. And what did the disciples say? They said, send them away. Send them away. When we are gathering, when Jesus is gathering, you are saying, send them away. Some of you shepherds, you are with your senior pastor. He's waiting how to gather and you are sending them away. Some of us behave like the 12 disciples. They told Jesus, send them away to go and look for food. Yeah. Sometimes our attitude is, we are saying that, send them away. Send them away. We gather them, we bring them, but we have an attitude that is, we are telling the leader, let's send them away. We can't see them. There are too many. Send them away. Let them go and find bread. Let them go. How can we feed all of them? Send them away that they may go. He says, no, you feed them. You feed them. Look, if you look at every church and their records, you will discover that we have had so many people come through our churches. Hundreds have come through. But when they come, we send them away. We send them. What do we do to send them away? We look at that too. But we send them away so they can go and fend for themselves. But Jesus said, I'm not going to send them away. You are going to feed them. You are going to feed them. So Jesus met their needs. And then he also taught them, and I'm sure in this church, we have been taught over and over how to teach practical things and with practical windows and illustrations. I mean, if you ever heard our prophet preach for a few number of times, you see the practicality of the teachings. May that grace come upon us also in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Right. Now, Jesus attracted unbelievers because he loved them. I was looking at myself and I realized that I don't have a lot of unbeliever friends. Maybe I'm better than Jesus. Because Jesus was called a friend of sinners. Pastor Eric, how many unbeliever friends do you have? Jesus was called a friend of sinners. Many of us, we are the friend of righteous people. But our master was called the friend. He was so close to unbelievers that he was called the friend of sinners. If are you not surprised that we are so good, we are so righteous and so holy. You don't even have, when they say you are going to invite people, you don't know who to invite because all your friends are righteous people. I'm saying something. I myself, I'm feeling guilty. That I look and realize that all my friends are good Christians. So I don't know who to, pastors, men of God, bishops. I don't have enough unbeliever phone numbers on my phone. Who do you think you are? Yeah, how can I have your number? I'm behaving more righteous than Jesus. Our Savior was called the friend. They say that he eats with sinners. He eats with. How many of us ever attend? When last you attended a party that was organized by an unbeliver? But Jesus now said he eats with sinners. Problem is coming now, isn't it? I'm not giving you a free to go and drink and fetish and all these type of things. So. No, sorry, that's it. No, I'm saying that these men of God sitting here, they're all so righteous. They don't have unbeliever friends. Even your old schoolmate, your school platform, I don't contribute. Because they're all sinners, isn't it? What a shock. We are so righteous in our day that unbelievers don't feel, they cannot cross our path. No, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Jesus was called a friend of sinners. He said he eats with sinners. He eats with sinners. What was the last time you ate with a sinner? You eat with only your wife. You eat with him, but brother is not a sinner. What a shock. So, the reason why we are cut off, and when you invite them, they don't come. Because you never relate with them. And suddenly you say, come, because you go to hell. And the way you're treating them, I see they're already in hell. Yeah. At the back, are you hearing what I'm saying? Others, are you hearing what I'm saying? No, I am telling you, I'm just telling you something that as the time has gone by, all my unbelievable friends are finished. I've cut them off. They are too bad to be close to me. But our Savior, is he Jesus your Savior? His Bible said they called him the one who eats with sinners. Yeah. He go to Zacchaeus' house and go and eat with Zacchaeus. Everybody is shocked. He called Matthew, said to them, I'm going to your house. When you see Jesus, see if he doesn't have an agenda. He was walking somewhere. He met Matthew. Follow me. Matthew followed him. And he went to Matthew's house. And then they had a party. And Matthew's friends, all the corrupt custom officials, they all came there. And airport staff, they all came there. What a shock. And the Bible said they were all eating with Jesus together. What a shock. But our meetings are not real. When you invite someone to a place which is not real, person says, this is artificial invitation. It's not real. You don't love me, you just need me to add to your numbers. What a shock. What a shock. I don't, hey. Question, I'm listening here. Where are you from? Over branch.
Yeah.
But your branch. Who are your people? I see you only one. What a shock. Because he's not a young boy as he's standing there. I know him for a long time. His hair cannot be black like this. Hey. Hello. I don't know whether we are still here. Yeah. I need to look at a few more things and then we get into other things. Yeah. Now, one of the things that we need to do is, if we are going to see a certain growth in our church, our love for people must be geared towards new people who come to church. Say amen. Newcomers, first timers, new converts, what we call in our church, person what? Person what?
X.
Person what?
X.
I'm going to ask you, what's the meaning of person X? I'm going to ask you. Stand up. Stand up. Have you heard person X before? Pardon?
No.
No. Chief, stand up. Yes. Do you know who a person X is?
A new person in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
example of person X.
Sinner. A first timer.
A first timer. You're trying to say something. Sit down. Yeah. I think from Obuju. I from Obuju or something. From where? Ashalibuche. The dark one is from Obuju. Ah, dear. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, we got to focus on the person X. We start the new Kama, the stranger. Prophet preached on person X, one of the flow services. It was a 20-minute sermon. I sent him a message that, Bishop, this is one of the best messages you've ever preached. On person X, oriented church. A church that is oriented, tilted towards the person X. Right. No, we should learn how to make a new person comfortable. How do you identify a person X? When we ask you, a person X, we can be a new person or somebody who is a bit newer in the church, not so old in Iran. How would you identify that this person is a person X? How do you recognize a person X? Can you help? How do you do it?
I think, first of all, if the face is not familiar, it could be person X.
If the face is not familiar to you, it could be a person X.
Yes. Number two, if the person is very isolated. Doesn't have many people around him or her. Number three, if there are groups gathered in the church, but the person seems to be sitting alone, that could also be a sign.
Wow, what a word.
Then also, okay, when you close, let's say after service, you'd realize that the person is also, okay, there are two things. If the person takes the bag and is leaving immediately without anybody, without any partner, it could be a sign. Or the person is seated alone, that can also be a sign.
Wow.
I think this
you have done well. You have done a clap for her. Or the person doesn't sing our songs. Ogbojo, plus first lady of Ogbojo, beautiful. Now, what all that she said is true. You know, at the Kodesh, I had 6 people. Their duty was to sit in the congregation. Reverend Louise, Koye, Bishop Sally was one of them. I don't know what that. No, he wasn't. He wasn't one of them. Reverend Louise, I had Raph was also one of them. What they did was that day before the service ends, they'll move into the green and sit at different places because pastors like to sit in front. I see a lady sleeping. Please try not to sleep. It's a very serious meeting. All right. Now, they will sit among. They were my fishes. They will sit among the people. When just about 10, 20 minutes to the end of the service, they will change where they go and sit among the people. And then all they will, after service, they're just looking at people who look newish. Like the way she's describing. You see them sometimes, those who sit towards the end of the buildings. Yeah. I mean, at the ends and now the back and so on, they are there. Yeah. So these guys are sitting. So immediately we just about to share the grace, they'll tell them, what's your name? What's your name again?
John.
Yeah, John, nice to see you. Ah, John, I met you at the airport before. Oh. Yeah, nice guy. Anyway, I'm just joking. Now, John, my name is Louise. Have you ever, I want you to say hello to Bishop Saki. He really likes to see you. So, just 2 minutes. So by the time the service ended, I get to my office. I have, at least, he will talk to 2 people. That is, I have 8 to 10 people all sitting to say hello to me. That's all their job is to, every time, make sure that, no, don't be clapping too much, because you can miss the point. Their duty is to make sure that people who look newish, who look like they are not, at least the senior pastor gets to know them. So they'll come and I don't waste time. When I come, oh, what's your name? I'm happy to meet you. God bless you. You have been in church for, you've been coming for the past 3 weeks. Oh, God bless you. Where do you work? Fine. Bye-bye. I just spend 1 minute, 1 minute or 2 minutes maximum. And so, when they go home, for them, it's very, they're grateful that they are met, if you like, in the eyes of man, the most important person in the church, the bishop. In the eyes of man. And they can't forget it. And it stays with them. So my fishers, their duty was to fish out people who look newish, so that nobody can be missing. You know, some of the things that we do wrong is that we like ourselves too much. We like our own groupings too much. If I am the pastor of the church, at least 20 to 30 minutes after we share the grace, people like Neosa, people like Lady Pastor Lillian and so on, you can't come close to me. I don't need you. Don't come and waste my time. Because you have my phone number, you can call me. Anytime you can call me, I'll be there for you. But there are others who have just come, who need my attention. So some of you, don't come and block the pastor. Can you stand? Agbojo, are you there with me? When service ends, please leave Reverend Selassie alone. Let him deal with the people who have just come. Because you come with your old problems and your problems are also not going. We are prayed that I see that you are coming. When we see you now, we see your problems. Your problem is all night prayer. Not just this time that we want to relate to newer people. So leave him. Look, nobody should come close to you 30 minutes after you share the grace. Let them stay away and make time for those who are newish in the church. They will appreciate it more. Take pictures with them. Take selfies with them. They will remember it. They will be happy that you gave them 2 minutes of your time.
Thank you.
Because many of us often block the way of the new people. And the new people sit because they don't have access. But you have access. So people come. I always carry a notebook. I am not so technological in my dealings. And my pastors, the Fred will tell you, I buy notebooks for everybody, every leader, a pastor. Did I buy some for the church recently? Buy notebooks for them. And the notebooks, I inspect them.
Wow.
There are 4 things in the notebooks. People that you talk to, course you made, visitation you made, and then evangelism. You have all of them. And I check every week how many phone calls you made. You have to write the names of the people you called. You say you are a pastor, don't call anybody the whole week. And you were called up only on Saturday and you are coming to church. You call yourself a pastor. I want to know how many phone calls you made in the week to people. I want to know how many visitations you made, how many evangelism, I want to know them. I group my church into, 3 categories. Active ones, dormant ones, and then defunct. Active are those who come all the time. Dormant are those who haven't come for the past 3 months. And defunct are those maybe for 2 years they are not around. So when I look at every pastor's list, I want to see the active members. I want to see the dormant. And I want to see defunct. And how do we deal with all of them? Because I want to see defunct, maybe they have traveled abroad, they're defunct. If you look at the dormant, they are trying to backslide. They have not been around for some months. So those dormant, I have a team of people who address them actively. Because if they are Lady Pastor Air Force people, perhaps they are used to him, to her. So you bring me your list of dormants, and I get other people to sort them out and to call them. And I personally call them as well. So that the dormant people are brought back into the thing. And so many of them are surprised that a senior pastor, somebody can help them and call them. So the church might be categorized. Those who are active, we see them all the time. Those who are dormant and those who are defunct. That means that they basically left the church. So those people, when we're having a special program like Swollen Sunday, we can invite even the defunct, those who are dead and those who are whatever. We can invite all of them. But the people who are around, the dormant, you must have a list of them. You must know that out of the, as a pastor, out of the 80 members you have, 30 are active. You see them regularly. 20 are dormant. They don't come with the past 2-3 months. You haven't seen them. And so on. And then the defunct. So you put them in various categories. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
So that they are not mixed up.
Yes.
When they ask how many members, oh, I have 80 members. But out of the 80, you know that 25 are no more in town. So you got to, if you don't apply our minds to this, and it's, then I'm telling the notebooks, eh, when you see me having meetings with my people, you think that I am Akome Simodo. Do you understand? They said, I come. Uh-huh. You have no idea how I sort the people out. I need to see what you do every week as a lay pastor, as a leader in the church. How many phone calls you make the whole week? How many visitations you... And I mark the books. The reason why I don't like the phones, because people say, oh, let's just use a phone. You see, your phone is a personal property. There are other things on your phone that you don't want me to see. So why should I collect your phone and inspect your phone? So keep your eye. I buy the same notebooks. When I went to Brazil, I drove with Apostle Robert to a shop. We bought the same type of yellow notebooks. We bought. I said, everybody's going to have one. And I drew the line. This is how we are doing it. We'll sit down. We go after service. We'll sit down together. And we go through every list. Everybody's notebook. I see who quit contact. That is why I can have a service and I can roughly estimate how many people I expect to come. I don't have any service without knowing the number of people I'm expecting. Because I expect all the pastors. For the work you have done, I can tell you that only 20 people are going to come from your center, from your work. The work you have done, I expect 35. Because I look at it. I look at the number of engagements, which include phone calls, include visitations, include all this I'm talking about. And then that would give me an idea, because actually it's just 1/4 of all that you do that brings the results. So if you want 25 people to come, engage 100 people. That's 1/4. So I can look at somebody's list. I said, you, only 10 people come from your center based on what you have done. Only 10 will come. And often I'm right. Are you there with me? Notebooks that they look into. And everybody has the same type of notebook, the same thing. And I expect you. So what I'm saying is that, because I'm afraid. What I'm saying is that you should be able to work on, as a pastor, as a leader, on first of all focusing. The growth in the church comes through the new people who come in, the new converts. These are the only two ways the church grows. When we have a church that doesn't have new comers, we don't have new people coming to the church cannot grow. Just like a restaurant. A restaurant grows when more people come, because the same people coming to it doesn't increase the membership or the customer base of the shop, or the whatever, the restaurant. But newer people adding. So when the new people come, they must be the focus of our love. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
They must be what?
The
focus of our love must be with them.
Wow.
I don't delegate my work, my attend, my work for the new covenant to anybody. It is my job. Because you see, when they come to church, they will have heard about Lighthouse. They may have heard about the prophets. And when they come and find you teaching, preaching, and all that. So it's like, oh, E. Bishop Douglas is not here. He is the one who is here. So he is for them the bishop dad. So when they come in, the bishop dad that they find is too busy to know them and to be interested in their lives, they just walk and never come back. I don't know whether you hear what I'm saying. So I'm saying to all of us as pastors, as leaders, when I take your notebook, I'm trying to look for how many, if I was in Brazil this evening, after service, I look at everybody's notebook. How many people did you talk to today? Today, as we have ended. My leaders, how many people? I want to look at it. Don't tell me 10, 5. I want to bring you, I'll look before we go home. I'll look at everybody's notebook. Because I expect, if you talk to 3 new people, you talk to 5, you talk to 2, you talk to 7, by the time you realize 20 new people have been attended to. And then the person may have been invited by Bishop Kobe. But then Lady Pastor has talked to you. So the person does not now know only Bishop Kobe. He also knows Lady Pastor. So more people are now interested in that person's life. I don't know whether you catch what I'm saying. I'm telling you, friends, take what I'm saying seriously. If you are going to see your church grow, you don't focus on first timers, new people and so on. It will never grow. My name is E.T. Saki. I'm talking to you. It will never grow if you don't focus, give a special love, attention to the new people. Never. Never. There will be no addition. Our ministries are restrained. We are becoming like Peter. Peter's ministry was about to die. He was a minister of the gospel. He was preaching to Jews all the time. And God wanted to expand his ministry. And Peter, for him, he said, I will go to Jews. Until he had a vision up there. Bible says he saw a carpet with all types of animals. And God said, kill and eat. And Peter said, I'm a Jew. I don't eat this and that. I don't eat this and that. And God said, what I have cleansed, let no man call unclean. Many of us, our ministries are dying because we are restricting ourselves to only a group of people. But the people are more than you can imagine. So he said, it came 3 times. By the time the third vision was over, somebody was knocking on the door. Cornelius had sent somebody to Peter's house, to come and call Peter, because God has said, go and bring, you know, Peter was for Jews, but a Gentile called Cornelius was about to change Peter's ministry. And if Peter has not had that vision, he would never have followed them to Cornelius' house. But God had to touch his heart so that he can go and minister to Gentiles. So Peter's ministry changed. The biggest church building in the world is your heart, not anything else. I've seen church buildings with 10,000. And when you go to Nigeria, you see huge buildings. Go to Redeem Camp, a 4 miles or so, 4 miles square building. I mean, hall. A hall that takes 2 million people. A hall that they use a car to take the offering. If you're an usher, you must know how to drive. When you give your life to Christ, you come in a bus. A bus brings you in front. But I'll tell you, the biggest church building is your heart. If your heart is not enlarged, God said, I will enlarge your heart. If your heart is not enlarged, people will come and they will go. And you think God has not blessed your church. It's not true. I want to dare everybody here. By the end of May, may there be a double presence in your church. Amen. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
That if you can instill a certain message into people's hearts, it is not a big deal for God to double your church. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Neo, sir, if you will just not just be following Bishop Abby and some, but you yourself carry converts. Your reward is not in following Bishop Adi. That's it. Your reward is in soul winning. He wins souls. He preaches to the souls. How many do you bring to church? Is there anybody around there that say, I've brought the person this year? How many people have you brought to church? Yourself. what are you saying? You yourself standing, how many people have you actually physically brought to church, followed them up, called them? How many people have you done that? You're a very sociable person. Yes. A notebook that we can inspect. Notebook that we can look and say that, hey, you have spoken to this week, this past week, you have made 10 calls. These are the names. You have visited 3 people. These are the names. We must be able to look. Don't tell them that I did the work of God. We need to be able to, it must be measurable. We need to see what you have done. What you have done. Otherwise, your work is zero. I'm telling you. Don't tell them that it's in your head. Write it down so that we can inspect it. It's only what you inspect that is done, not what you expect. I expect you to follow people. If I don't inspect what you have done, it will amount to nothing. Yes, sir, you understand what I'm saying? Very important. Very, very important. All of us as pastors. Let me, John, I'm telling all of you as pastors. You've got to have notebooks and have people who are working with you with notebooks that you can look at. Yeah. I'm telling you that if I was in Brazil today, this evening, we have service in the evening because Brazil is a family place where they have lunch. Every family has lunch. If you have service in the morning, they won't come. If you have service in the evening, 5 to 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. After that, we stay there till after midnight. 1 o'clock, and I'll look at all my few leaders I have. All of them. Who did you talk to? Who did you? If I go to church and there are no converts in there, there are no new people in the church, there'll be big trouble. Big trouble. I'm normally a nice person. But when it comes to these things, I don't joke with it. If you are not serious, I can't work with you. Because we are dealing with souls. I don't know whether you hear what I'm saying.
Yes.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
Shepherds, are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
All about your shepherds, stand up. Yeah. Pastors and shepherds, do you understand? How many new people do you have today? Any new person? Was there any new person in church today? Pardon? Who is in charge of new converts? Who is it? Not new converts, of newcomers, first time. Who is in charge? Who is in charge? You don't even know who is in charge? Where is Pastor Timothy? Who is Pastor Timothy?
First service, we had two newcomers.
You have newcomers too?
For first service.
Did they fill a form?
No, I took their details.
You took their names. Let me see the names now.
Colleague of mine.
I can't hear you.
It's a colleague of mine took it.
A colleague of yours taking it home. Did you put it on the page? We're closer. So is it on the page now? Check and see. One of the disciples, who has the number? What is his number? Give it to me now. Fantastic. Looks like him. Mr. Asma.
Yes.
Yes, please look. I want the number. I know we are friends, but we should be serious. Where is the lady? Come closer. Yes. Please, can you mention the name and the number to me?
Yes. Dennis Ado. 020 365 0734.
So that's Dennis Ado.
Yes, please.
Who is in charge of this Dennis Ado? Who is going to follow him up?
I am.
You are. When are you going to call him? What are you going to do with Dennis Ado? Mr. Asma.
After he came for first service,
yes.
I brought him. Then after service, I escorted him home.
You brought him and you took him home?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Beautiful. So what happens after that?
Then he is also going to join the media team.
Okay.
Yes.
You are in the media team.
No, I am not.
You are not. Who is in charge of media team? He's not here. He's not a shepherd. Why didn't he come? Please talk.
I was not in church at all.
You're doing mobilization.
Yes.
Okay.
Service, I was not in church at all, and from there straight here. So I've not been with the church.
You see, what happens is that when we have meetings like this, and important people are not around, how do you go and share such a message with them? Because you see, Mr. Asma has brought this gentleman, taking him home, but it should not be only him. There might be at least three people who are working on this person. First of all, as he has come, as a new person. A form has been filled with his name and everything. So the people in charge must now tackle him. So he who brought him is tackling him. The new believers or the first timers team is also tackling him. And then if he's going to join a media group, the media group is also working on him. So three-pronged approach. The person cannot easily get missing. But if you leave Mr. Asme alone, no, you don't have to clap. If you leave Mr. Asme alone, what is that? If he gets tired of this person, the person is gone. But if there are three people, it's not easy to let a person go.
Wow.
We should not let one person be controlled and the person just mulliganizes everything. Because Mr. Asme can get so busy that he may forget to visit this person. But the media team, the first timers team, they are so serious. You don't forget about the person. So you got to go through your list. I don't know why I'm getting so soaked. You go through the list so much. So laboriously that everybody who came, you are working on the person. So I deal with the three levels of people who are dealing with this convict. It's not easy to lose the person. But if you leave him alone and then he gets crowded in his busy schedule and never visits the person again, nobody else will be interested in the person. Right. That's what I'm saying. If the person came for first service, it's just we got there at 6 o'clock. By this time, somebody shall call him or send a message to him. Because before the somebody said, "Oh, you came to church today. I hope you enjoyed the service. God bless you." A call has gone to the person already before the day ends. That's what must happen. That when people come, give the life to Christ or first timers, by the close of day, somebody has contacted the people, called the person, sent a message, whatever, that you came to church, I hope you enjoyed the church, we'll see you again. Somebody, not just the person who brought him, but another person. So now two, three people's eyes are on that person. It's not easy to lose the person. We lose them because we leave only one person to be in charge of the whole person. So if that person, God forbid, backslides, all the people are backsliding with him. I don't know whether you catch what I'm saying. Oh, God, Joe,
Bishop.
Your church can double.
Yes, Bishop.
Yes. If you take the work seriously, it will double to your amazement. Before you are sitting 1,000, you'll be surprised. It's okay to receive it, but then let's do the work. Let's do the work. Look at these nice people standing here. Nice people who followed you to this meeting. If all of us would take this up seriously, I'm telling you, you'll see how establishment will come to your church. I'm telling you. What's the name of that church? Reverend John, what's the name of your church? Cheshi, people, stand up. Cheshi. Please, Obodjo, you can sit. So, Shashi, how many new people did you get in church today? Three. Are you happy with three?
No.
What's the attendance of the church normally?
On record, we have about 500.
On record, but the actual attendance?
Today's attendance was 458.
458, and there are three new people. I mean, are we happy with it? 400 people brought only three people. No way. I mean, 400, you should have at least 30 new people. 30 at least new people. I mean, I don't know how you can have a service and you're just happy among yourselves. And there are only three new people. These people said they know all your story. They know every preaching you preach. At a point when you look at their face, you don't even feel like preaching anymore. Yeah. How can you have 400 people and only three new people in the church? Your shepherds are joking. My name is Yitisaki. No, I'm serious. Do you invite anybody to church? No. Did you? Did the person come? Did you? It doesn't occur to you that the growth of the church depends on you. It doesn't occur to you. So it doesn't occur to you that as I'm going to church, I must make an effort to bring a new person. It doesn't occur to us. I mean, what are we doing? Shashi, Rabbi John, don't be happy that you have 500 on paper and more than 400. 400 is a very large number. If you have 400 members, I'll be very happy. That one I should tell you. If you have 400 members in my church, I don't have 400. So I'm very, 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 it's impressive. But 400 with three convicts, three new people. How many convicts today? Did anybody come for to give their lives to Christ?
Yes.
How many? Two. Because if 400 everybody is born again, why should they come forward? If the newcomers, some of them give their lives to Christ, and but if you have three newcomers, two converts, that's all. You see, if we are really serious about church growth, there's something that we will do. And I adjure every church here. From next Sunday, no matter how small your church is, you must not have less than 20 new people in the church. And I'm going to show you how we can do that.
To us.
Are you still here?
Yes.
Yeah. 400. You must have at least 30 new people. I'm telling you, 30. They might be sitting in the church. And then these 30 new people, if you are serious about them, you can retain maybe 10. So if every week 10 people join, within a month, 40. Within 2 months, 80. 3 months, you have 100. It looks simple mathematics, but it's not a big deal for God to double our church if we will do the right thing. It's not a big deal. I don't know whether you catch what I'm saying. Which other branch is here? Please, Ashashi, sit down. Which other branch? Madina Estate. Why didn't you want to mention? Why were we wasting time?
Sure.
America House.
America House.
But why? You are dodging or something? Sit down. Which other branch? Why you come? May you come, let me share a razzie. I say, Bishop doesn't know, let me dodge. So what I'm saying to you is that let's create an atmosphere of acceptance for new people. Can I have an amen? A new person must, you see, before the pastor preaches, some people have made up their mind whether they will come again or not. Before the sermon is preached, if you are blessed to have a good preacher like Bishop Paddy, then the person may change his mind because the preacher, I will come again. But most of them would have made up their mind the way they were received, the way they are welcome, the way they made to feel accepted. They would have made up their minds whether they will come again before the preaching starts. I'm telling you. You see, and it is said that the first key to anybody wanting to listen to you is the key of likability. The person must like you. You know, there are some people, they will never vote for Mahama. They don't like him. Do you understand? They will never vote for him. Even if he speaks sense, 24-hour something, something. 24-hour what?
Economy.
Economy.
Yes.
They don't even hear.
Build
the Ghana we want. 24-hour economy. You see, when a person likes you, if you are speaking rubbish, they want to hear what you are saying. I'm telling you, person must like you and like the church. You must make the church a likable church. Say amen.
Amen.
The pastor must be likable. Amen.
Amen.
The leaders must be likable. When they like you, they will come again. And they will come again. And they will come again. How do I make you like me? And then this may be whatever it is, but you see, let Pastor Sophia sit in here. I related with her for, I don't know how many years, 30 years, 20, 30 years thereabouts. I know her. I know her name. They said that what? The most important name in every language is, the most important word in every language is what? The person's name. That's the most important word in every language. So if I see and I say, Sophia! Bishop knows my name. It connects immediately because for her, that's the most important word in the world. Her name. So the first thing to let people like and like the church is to know their name. And I'm not, you see, you don't have to be a sharp brain to remember them. I don't remember names easily. That's why I carry notebooks. When I go home, I write down names of people I met. I write them down because I can't forget. I write them down. So next time I meet the person, I mention them. It's a conscious. I won't say that I was so intelligent in school. I was not that the most intelligent. But I try to remember. I know what is important to me. So I try to remember people's names consciously. It's not that when you mention names to me, I'll never forget. I forget. That is why I write the names down. If you happen to have your name on my phone, you are blessed. Because sometimes I take A. Let me pray for all those whose name begins with A. I pray for them like that. And B, I pray for them. So if you have your name on my phone, I'm praying for you. I pray for you. You are blessed to have your name on my phone. But I do that on a regular basis. As I start from Z. I take K, M, N, O, P. I'm praying for M and OPs. Everyone who never begin M, I pray for them. One after, I mention their names. Paul said, I make mention of you. So mention people's name, praying is scriptural. As soon as I tell them, I was praying, maybe I tell Apostle Kingsley, Reverend Kingsley, and then I said, and I called Reverend Kingsley, I just praying for you today. I want to check on you on how you are doing. It connects with the person. Because it's true I was praying for him and I decided to send a message to just check on him. I don't know whether you catch what I'm saying. Because how many I sent you texts before? From weird places. Out of the blue. Because the day I sent it, says, I was praying for you. Because I have your name on my list. There's a reason why I have not called you. Almost. Are you still in church?
Yes.
Hello, are you still in church?
Yes.
Am I talking to anybody here?
Yes.
I'm just sharing with you how you can be a good pastor, a good shepherd. One of the important things I'm going to share with you is the month of birth mystery.
Okay.
The secret of the month of birth mystery. That is one of the greatest revelations of pastoring. Say amen.
Amen.
How long do we have? I have somebody's house to dedicate today. So I have to finish. And even if you're at 12, I'll go and dedicate the house. I've given them the promise that I will dedicate the house because I'm traveling this week. It's all part of the work. So it doesn't matter. I'll go and dedicate the house. I didn't need offering from him. I'm happy that he has built. Amen. And I'm going to dedicate it for them by the grace of God. Anyway, so I have to finish early and go and dedicate the house. I think my thing is getting finished.
iPad power is getting finished. We must attempt to give a good impression of the church. You see, when we started the Kadesh, it's a new area. Anybody at the back who is sleeping, may God deliver you from your sin in Jesus' name. Now, if you are feeling sleepy, you can always stand up. There's nothing wrong about that. Now, when we started the Kadesh, one of the things... One of the things we did was to... It was a new area. We wrote letters, short letters, to everybody in the area, about 1 mile radius. Myself and some of the young people we have, I wrote a letter signed by myself. Ghanaians, you don't like reading. So a short letter. I want to say, God bless you. This is Lighthouse Chapel International. God has blessed you. Come to the area. I don't know what your impression about church, but I just invite you to come and try us and see whether you like what we do. We send it to every home in the area. Everybody got the letter. And we had good responses. Almost every week, we got people who will come and say, I received your letter. I was able to come last week. I'm here this week. By the grace of God, every church has its Jerusalem. So when you have a church like Amakaros here, the areas, all the they are rich people. This is a very rich area. Every rich person in this area must receive a letter from us. What do you think? Yeah. Behind. At the back here, all the new estates and so on. The letter signed by this famous bishop. Even his name alone can perform wonders. I tell you, a short letter. I know maybe you moved to here not long ago. We are located just less than 1 mile. One of the letters we wrote said that we are about 1,000 steps from your house. 1,000 steps, just a walking distance. Walk through, come and see whether you like what you see. Short letter. And we got responses from them. Every church must attack its Jerusalem with energy. I was in Benin, Cotonou, and our pastor there, they had moved to a new building. And so they were busing all the people from the old area. And he said it was so expensive and difficult, they're losing the members. I told him, I stood outside and looked in the window. And I said, look at all these people here. They see the building come up. They know it's a church. But have you attempted to invite them? This is your Jerusalem. I told him, next week, let all your members go to all the houses around. 2 weeks later, he called me and said, they have 200 new people coming to church. 200. That's what he told me. Coming to church. And some of them have joined. Because they were sitting in their Jerusalem. And they were going to Judea and Samaria. When they have not tackled Jerusalem. We are blessed where we are. Say amen.
Amen.
I'm just saying all this is for you to know that, look, our church can grow and multiply.
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Amen.
If only we can apply our hearts and apply our minds to it. I told them, you know, when I was invested, the same thing. I told my roommates, Major Methel of blessed memory, I told him that there should be no room in Mensa Sabah Hall where we do not knock on the door and talk to them about Christ. We knock on every single door in Sabah Hall, talk to you about Christ. So by the time the canonic year ended, there was no room that we have not entered to go and witness to. Because that is our Jerusalem. Do you understand? I used to preach at those we know Legon Opongo Hall. It was one of the radiest halls apart from the Commonwealth Hall. Now I used to preach there every Sunday early morning, and they were very terrible. They would throw water, they would make noise, they would scream when I'm preaching this thing. I was not moved. Every Sunday, 5 a.m., 5:30, I start clapping. Wake up, wake up. I come with the gospel. I did that at the point. No, they had a meeting. And they said, this gentleman, let's accept him as our pastor.
Wow.
Because he's not giving up.
So now when I come, when I clap, they begin to clap. Everybody wake up. It's time for church service. And they'll come and stand at the balcony. And I'll finish preaching. And then we'll share the grace and I'll go home. They accepted me as their pastor. Because they are not going to church. So they themselves said, we don't go to church. This man is always worrying us. So let's accept as official pastor. And then you have service. That's how it is. You must attack your Jerusalem. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And Jerusalem will respond to you. Because that was the commandment of Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
I don't know whether you hear what I'm saying. I need to get to the revelation of the month of birth. Hey, forgive. How many of you are still here? Say amen.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So, good. Are you charging it? Have 5%. Is it charging? No, it's not charging. Fred, come and see. Look at this. 5%. Okay, now it's it's got to 4%. Say it's charged. Okay. All right. Okay. So, all right. Are we still in church?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying, I've mentioned that you must have proper categorization. Active members, what? Dormant and defunct. Can you think through and see some active members? Can you think about dormant members? Now, do you do IMCL, instant memory call list? Instant memory call list, IMCL. It's like as we are in church, come to church Sunday morning, I saw you this morning, I saw all of you this morning. Now, as you sit in church, there are names of people who didn't come to church today. Is anybody okay to you? You know anybody?
Yes. Ibrahim Badan.
Ibrahim didn't come.
Anthony.
Anthony didn't come.
Auntie Rhoda.
Auntie Rhoda.
Bella.
You also didn't come.
Yes.
You see, they're all mentioning names of people who didn't come. We call it instant memory. Now, as you are sitting in church, which name do you remember of people who should have come and are not here? So by the time the service ends, I expect every pastor to send the list of your instant memory call. Instant memory call is the name that occurred to you who didn't come. There's a platform you send the names to. And I have some beautiful ladies who call them. When service ends, two after service ends, they call each of them. We didn't see Ibrahim. You said, what's the name of the person who didn't come? Ibrahim. Hey, you didn't come. So Bishop said I should check on you. Whether everything is okay. Are you well? And so on. Oh, your mother wasn't with us, so I didn't come. Oh, so sorry. I'll tell you, we'll pray for you, okay? God bless you. And then what's the name of this one? The one who didn't come? Auntie Rhoda.
Yeah.
Auntie Rhoda didn't come. So Auntie Rhoda's name is there. And then she will call. Auntie Rhoda, we didn't see you in church today, so we are just checking on you. Bishop told me to find out whether you're okay. And all the, you see, I had the funeral at Winneba. So when I was coming, the car broke down. Oh, is that so? So sorry about that. It should be okay until that had been called. So you see, by the time the service ends, all the responsible pastors would have sent the list of the people whom they realized they were not there. That will come to instant memory. If you're a good pastor, people's name will occur to you. Who didn't come? And you send the names on that platform, and very pleasant people will call them before we leave here. They have been called. And when people realize that I didn't come to church, they realize I was not there. It's a blessing. It will make them feel that I am loved and cared for. I didn't come and my name is there. And every pastor ought to do that. If you're a good pastor, you would have at least 10 names of 10 people. True or correct? Do you know who didn't come to your church today?
Yes.
Out of the 500?
Yes. My administrator.
He didn't come.
Come.
She didn't come?
Yes.
Yes.
And Pastor Joshua.
Pastor Joshua.
One of my assistants. They were all writing them, so I knew that.
But even you know, you still put their names there. So when they call them, I hear you think I'm going to write an exam. We are praying for you that God will bless you. Even the fact that you call them to tell you are praying for them, it means something to them. Do you understand? So if you have that IMCL, and you have people who call these people all the time, you keep on looking at this thing, I get confused. You keep on, I mean, you have this, the list of the people out there. It will mean that by, if you have good people who make the calls, not just for new cover, but these are for those whom we expected who didn't come. They are part of the active members. They are not the active members who didn't come. The names are there. You call them. I was in Kumasi. Okay, we're checking on you. Next time when you come, let's know why you didn't come. You are fine. And so you call each of them. It is a sense of, it's a show of your love for them. And a sense of your care to them. And make them feel that I am missed. People want to feel missed. Do you understand?
Yes.
I'm known and I'm missed. And that will make them, it's a good feel.
Yeah.
Say amen.
Yeah.
What is it called? Instant
memory.
Yes, instant memory. Memory. If you're a pastor, why don't you, if you're a good shepherd, why doesn't anybody's name occur to you? All we are doing is dancing and dancing and dancing. No name is occurring to you. That the person is not in church. So if we have that attitude, so once again, if I was in my church now, I have my team of four ladies. That's all they are doing. They call and they put the report back on the page. I called these seven people, two of them wrong phone numbers, five of them, this is, they put all the report, everything is on. It's on. And we do it on Sunday before we sleep. Because Monday you'll be busy. Monday, you are making sure that there's kerosene in the airplane. What a shock. Are you still there? Are you still in church? Right. So the next thing I just want to mention quickly is what we call the month of birth pastoring. The month of birth pastoring. Now, listen to this very carefully. In our churches, we have bacenters. Am I right? Am I right? Are you asleep or you are here? We have bacenters. You also have what? Basantes. All the groups we have in church. The choirs, the, how do you call the shekel stars, the dancing stars, rap stars. All of them are basantes. So people belong to basenta and or basantes. Now the third tier that we can let you belong to is what we call the month of birth. Now what it says is that, let me add the second rule. Which month were you born? July, November, October, December, July, October, December, January, July. Wow. Nobody was born in August. I mean this rule. August is the most popular month in the world.
Really?
Yeah. In the world. If you look on the internet, you discover that August, in fact, August 10th is the most popular birthday in the world. Because you see, August is 9 months after Christmas. Isn't it? So bad things happen in Christmas and then you are born in August. No, August is the most popular month worldwide. And 10th August is the most popular birthday. 10th and 16th, I think. The most popular birthday. In Ghana, it's often June because in Accra, 9 months after Homo War. So you see that in Accra, a lot of June. How many of you are born in June? Okay, August. Okay, not so many of you. I don't know what your parents were doing, but you're not born in Accra. Okay, now listen. If I ask, which group do you, if you ask your church members, which group do they belong to? Some may not belong to anything at all. Am I right? They're not in the choir. They're not in Dancing Stars. They're not Circle Stars. Nothing. If you ask, I don't know if you're in Basenta. Several people are also not in Basenta. So although we expect people to be in a Basenta or in a Basanta or whatever, not everybody joins. But when it comes to month of birth, everybody has a month that he was born. So you automatically belong to a group. Do you understand? Whether you like it or not, you are born. Thank you. You are born. So when it comes to belonging to the month of birth, everybody is automatically a member of the month of birth. So that is an area which has 100% membership. Everybody in the church, some people have seen me before, I said they don't know when they were born. I gave them birthdays. Because you must celebrate. But I'm saying that. I'm saying today, I'm told you're born in June. God bless you. You are part of the June fellowship. God bless you. Immediately, the person belongs to something. She may not be a choir in the choir. She may not be an usher, but automatically, she's part of the June bonds. So the pastor there is responsible for the person. Before he even matures to join a basenta, matures to join a basenta, he's already automatically in the month of bed, in the June month. And that pastor is his pastor. So the pastor in charge of June born, now you have a new person. As time goes, so you encourage him to join a group, but then whether he joins or not, any group or not, the one group you are sure of is the month of birth group. He is there. Do you understand? Now, what do they do? If I'm on the month of birth, in the month of birth, January, February, March, how do we pastor them? I'll give you 7 points, and then we'll be done. Okay. All right. Are we still in church? So we create WhatsApp group with pastors in charge. So the pastors are in charge of the WhatsApp groups. Now, each month of birth pastor will choose a day in the whole month. Let's say we are entering May. You choose a day in May where all the people in your group will fast and pray. You know, people have needs. And people want to feel a sense of belonging. And people want to feel that my issues are being dealt with. So, January people, you may choose that first Saturday, all those born in January, we are fasting and praying. Every group will choose its own month. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you understand, you have to ask me. So that in the month, there is a set of, whether it's by Zoom, I used to do it by Zoom, and then now because we live a far apart, we do it by Zoom. We also have in-person meetings where they all meet with their pastors. Let's all pray for our, this is praying for individual needs of the June bonds, the month of birth. So when they meet, everybody brings a prayer, let's pray for this, let's pray. So you care for yourselves. So if everybody in the month of birth is doing that, everybody in the church is being cared for in a certain way. Your issues are being dealt with, prayers are being prayed for you, you choose the day, you can all fast and pray. It brings you together and bonds you together. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? Now that is very important. All right. The next thing you do as so you share a prayer request and the pastor leads in prayer either in person or online, so you know that this time everybody is praying all the month of birth. January bonds are praying on this day, February, every day once a month,
Every month of bread, people have their own meeting and pray for themselves. Now, again, if it is the month, like as we are in April, it's a special month for April borns. So all April borns, stand up. If you're born in April, can you stand? So this, can you see that obviously every time they stand, they say one or two pastors are already in the group. Yeah. So it just happens that it just works out by itself. So now, let's say Lady Pastor Sufai is the pastor and Pastor Reverend Samson. Okay. Reverend Pong Samson. They are the pastors of the April Bongs. So now, everybody's day that he was born. So when the month of April starts, then you look at your list. Inform tomorrow is what's your name? Miriam's birthday. So all of you, April Bones. Miriam, wish you a happy birthday. God bless you. I mean, it's just so overwhelming that all my colleagues are remembering and blessing me for my birthday. Aren't you happy when somebody wishes you a birthday? So though, since she was born in April, all the April Bones will know Miriam. And tomorrow is, tomorrow's date is what? 22nd. So 22nd April is Miriam's birthday. So all of you are wishing her a birthday. Happy birthday. Good wishes. Then the next person, everybody's birthday. You wish everybody the day the person was born, happy birthday or good wishes for the person. Do you understand? Don't you read them in a happy when somebody wishes you a happy birthday? I pray God will bless you in Nigeria. They know how to do it that very much. Hey, they can wish you blessings that now you are to enter your spirit. I tell you. To enter you proper. So everybody in April wishes this person, if it's your turn, you are wish happy birthday like that all through. So everybody in the church is wished a happy birthday. I had a special phone that my secretary had. So she wish everybody birthday on my behalf. So everybody in the church, there's not a day that I will not, you're going to get a message from me. Because somebody who knows me well is wishing them on my behalf. Because I cannot type for everybody, the whole church. Then I won't even have time to eat. But it's a good one. It's a personal one in a certain sense. So that is one of the things you do. Because when you wish people, you give people good wishes, it has a way of touching their spirits, making them feel that I belong to something. Now, I'm sure we do it in our churches. The last Sunday of the month is what we call Celebration Sunday, when you have a cake for all those born in April. So, the last Sunday, do you do it? Yes, you all do it. You come forward, we cut a cake, we sing happy birthday, and then we pray for you. Now, another thing that the month of birth people do is that because we are born in April, all those of us born in April will buy a gift for the church. You like it, isn't it? So, if you know the church, you know the needs of the church. You decide that you want to buy a television for the saved church. This thing was bought to the church by the April bonds, and they give it to the church. Or you start to buy air conditioning if you can afford it. Something that everybody can do so that all of you months of birth, you contribute, all of you born in April, you contribute very little to buy, want to raise maybe 10,000 or 5,000 to buy this gift for the church. Which will be remembered that this gift was given to us by April bonds. Why don't you clap your hands for the Lord? When it is the time for November bonds, November bonds can decide that want to buy combo for the bass guitar. And how much is the combo? Combo is 4,000. Everybody bring, let's all contribute. So we have also contributed our quota to the church. So everybody has a chance
to do something little but significant for the church. Clap your hands for the Lord. You may be seated, April Bones. Now the next thing that you do is to show care for one another. April Bones, can you stand again? April Bones. So you have the list. Number one, Sophia. Number two, Miriam. What's her name? Catherine. Number three, Catherine. Number four, Lorenda. Number five, Daniel. So at least we have five here. We have Lady Pacifier, Miriam, Catherine, Lorenda, Daniel. Now this is how it goes. So the names are there. This number one, number two. So that you show care. So Sophia's duty of care is for number two, who is Miriam. And Miriam, your care is for Catherine. And then Catherine, your care is for Lorenda. And Lorenda, your care is for Daniel. So then, when you come to church, you are looking for Miriam. Miriam is looking for Catherine. Catherine is looking for Lorenda. Lorenda is looking for Daniel. So everybody's looking for the other person. That is how to be one another's keeper. So if we have that sense of responsibility, you will discover that everybody is looking out for his brother or sister. Wow. Can you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Or it's not clear. Yeah. Is it clear enough? Yeah. So then, what's your name? Evelyn. Agnes. So if Evelyn is number six, Agnes is number seven. Blessed is number eight. So your responsibility is look out for Agnes. So if Agnes doesn't come to church, because your care is for Agnes, you must find where she is. Agnes, I didn't see you in church today. Where are you? So you're Agnes' friend. And Agnes is looking for Bless. Bless, we didn't see you. What happened? So Bless is also looking. So everybody is looking for out for his brother. You see, if you do that, we become one another's keeper. Do you understand? So the work is not only for shepherds, it's for everybody who is a member of the church. We become one another's keeper. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, when that is done, the work is not only left for the shepherds or pastors, but everybody in church become dutiful. Amen.
Amen.
And then you have somebody to look out for. Somebody that you are supposed to. Now, if Lady Pastor Sophia and then Reverend Samson are the pastors of April Bones, you can ask Agnes. You can go through your list randomly. Number seven is Agnes. Agnes, where is Daniel? And Agnes must not talk like King. Am I my brother's keeper? Agnes must say, I called him. I didn't see him. Bless has been coming to church. You can look at, maybe you have 30 names of 30 people. You can look at number 25. Who is number 26? Now you call number 25. Where is number 26? And you might be responsible for the person whose name comes after you. Now the last man is the one taking care of the first man. So if I am born in April, in February, so maybe my name is number one on February list. The last person on that list is now who must also call me and check on me. I expect to be called. I expect to be checked on by somebody else. So everybody becomes everybody's keeper. If we can implement it well, you will discover that we will not lose people. And everybody will know where everybody is. Say amen.
Amen.
I can see the questions in your mind. So you sit down. Ask your question. Add a question in your mind and then we can go on. But are you understand what I'm saying so far? Does it make sense to anybody? All right. So who wants to ask a question? And then we will be wrapping up. Yes.
So just like the other systems where you monitor, how is the month of birth, let's say the pastors and the people in a particular month, how are they monitored to see whether they are doing their work?
So if we have in a large church,
like Macarius headquarters. If we have two pastors, let's say Lady Pastor Sophia, and then somebody else who's in the Macarius headquarters are in charge of April Bones, you are the pastors. So you are the people who organize the prayer meetings for them. You are the people who go through the list and find out, are you checking on this person? Are you following? So it is the pastors who are the person in charge of the month of birth who are monitoring and ensuring that the members are caring for one another. I don't know whether it's clear enough.
Yeah.
Very good. Any, yes, stand up and ask. Okay, take
that
there.
Month.
Yes.
In a case where there are no pastors in that month, and maybe there are shepherds, can a shepherd take control, or there has to be a pastor?
Well, what we did, I'll say, in the Kadesh was that there are some months where there were so many pastors, and some didn't have any at all. So we had to transfer some people to go and join for the sake of administration.
Oh, okay.
So let's say June Bonds had about 8 pastors, and then January Bonds didn't have any. And December is a very, I don't know why, there was no, you're December, isn't it? Uh-huh. They're struggling to have pastors. So we had to transfer some pastors to go and help in that month. So they are not born in that month, but they, because of administrative and pastoral cases, we transfer some people, because there's often imbalances here and there. So we transfer some people to go there and to help.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Any other question? Yes. I think I'm bringing you a microphone.
Thank you. In the case where we are looking at church growth, it means that within the month or within the year, mm-hmm. new members will be added. So as we are starting, everybody would get a number. But when new people are added, it doesn't mean that the last person would keep on, the one checking on the first person, that is the last in line, his responsibility will keep changing.
What happens is that, yes, I understand the question. What happens is when we start off, it starts off by everybody having somebody to care for. But as we keep adding, then you decide that if up to, let's say, April Bonds are 20, and then some people come to give you the last or join the church, and they become 21, 22. Now the pastor in charge is now responsible for those who have just joined. When they establish, then you give the person 21st, you give to 22nd, 22nd, 23rd. But where they join, you see those who are new. Now, when anybody joins, everybody comes and wishes the person welcome. So if April Bonds, you are 20, and then this Sunday, somebody comes and joins, Maggie comes and joins April Bonds, and the person, we have Maggie as April Bonds. And they say, oh, welcome, Maggie, we are so happy to have you. The person will feel a certain sense of belonging. That suddenly, all they are hounding me and excited that I am one of them. So everybody in that group wishes the person welcome. We're happy to have you. We are the April Bones. And all of them have excitement. We used to have excitingness for all of them. Fabulous February. Jazzy July. December. Jazzy July. You forgotten your mouth. I mean, exciting names. And we also, so that is just what one said. But I'm saying that as people join, the pastor is in charge, the pastors are in charge of the person until another person comes and they give the person an assignment. Now, this person is your carer, if you like. Do you see? Now, I'm saying that when we do these things, and it brings a lot of excitement. In fact, one of the things we used to do is to have t-shirts for every month. So once a month, and this is not a must, once a month, everybody will wear their month of birth t-shirts. So, of course, February is red. by divine mandates. Green, blue. So once a month, you see, the whole church is colorful. Red, green, blue, different pink. I mean, everybody has their month of birth. And they're excited. And then after the service, they meet in the month of groups. So if you don't have a t-shirt, You say that I must belong. I was born in July. I must also join the July. I must join the June people. So once a month after church, we put it up. January bonds are here, February bonds are here, and you all meet the pastor. All of it is just pastoral care. That's all we are doing. So that everybody in the church will be cared for. Do you understand? So the excitement that comes with it is unimaginable. Unimaginable. Everybody's excited that I belong to. Are you awake? Very awake. What's your name? Emmanuel. Pastor Emmanuel. Which branch?
New Adenta.
New Adenta. How many people are in your church? Averagely 60. You have quite a good number. You have mega churches, though. I don't know why I'm talking so much with all these mega churches. Now, the excitement that comes with belonging, identifying with your people, has a lot of life in it. Say amen.
Amen.
Do you understand what I've said so far? How many of you are coming along with me? Now, for me, I believe that if we will be able to do this, we'll lose virtually nobody by the grace of God, except the son of perdition. That is, if we have responsible people to be in charge and to be actively involved in this month of birth celebration. So like I said, the last Sunday, you come together, we celebrate you, we dance with you, we take pictures with you and all that, and we put it on our pages, month of birth, a special celebration for all these people. And it's just so much life. You know, people want to belong to something which has life. Say amen. And want to be partake of the life of the church. And this is one way that everybody, every Tom, Dick, and Harry, or Harry, would have a part and a role to play in the church. So even if you are not yet a shepherd, at least you have one person that you care for and you are looking out for. Do you understand? So the pastor can come up and say, who are you caring for? Who is the one? Who are you caring for? And everybody will have one person in mind. If you don't know that, you don't have any, means that you have not joined anything at all. But by means, somebody else may be caring for you. So this is one of the most important ways to look out for every single person. The purpose of this is so that we can say what Jesus said. Of all you are giving me, I have lost none. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, if you're able to work with it properly, you'll be amazed how the group will be. I was looking at the records 2 weeks ago of how it was like. At a point, we have 3,000 people on Sunday, regular Sundays. 2,800. You are the usher. You are the God counting. I have it. I have the records here. Because there was a certain interest that everybody had in the church. And everybody, a certain sense of responsibility, ownership. That I own this. I own this. It's ours. It's mine. I'm part of it. A certain belonging and ownership that everybody had in the church. That makes you, if you don't come to church, you see the call from, if you're in the choir, from the choir pastor. If you're in the basin, from the basin pastor. But if from nobody at all, from your month of birth pastor or person, you are going to receive a message. Because somebody is caring for you. And if you can do this by the grace of God, we'll not lose people. Amen. Clap your hands for the Lord. And God is going to help us. I said, God is going to help us.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Any other question? Any other question? And then we will, we'll be wrapping up. Cherish, what's going on in your mind? Where's the microphone? And then Bishop Kobe.
I was trying to formulate a question in my mind. It's not fully formulated, but I'm just thinking about the duplicity of efforts. Like if you have 8 and 12 months and you have pastors and then you have the same pastors that are also having to do maybe basantes, and then you have pastors who have to do the regions, for each effort to work, for you to go all out to make it work, you would have I mean, there will be a little difficulty sometimes in being able to execute all the duties. So it's still formulating, like I said, but I'm sure you understand
it. I do. So the work may be too many for one pastor. You'll be handling a person in charge of the choir, like you're in charge of the 20, under 20.
Ready at 20. Cell. So you want to grow the cell as well. And then now I'm part of a month, and maybe I'll end up being maybe the one doing the month.
Understand. This month of birthing, it is not so dependent on the pastor. It is more of making the people understand the duty of care. Everybody rising up to care for your brother. You don't have to be a pastor to care. But the fact that you are number 22 means that number 23, you are caring for number, you are looking for number 23. The fact that you are number 16 means you are caring for number 17. The fact that you are number 6 means you are caring for number 7. So we raise every member to become responsible in the church. So if the pastors in charge can sell the message to the people well, you discover that you are not doing much, but there's an identity. The month, the time that you'll be doing a lot more is the month of your birth. When it is you are born in April, that is when you must wish them happy birthdays. You must make sure that everybody is happy. You take little offering and all those type of for the church and all that. That is it. But when the month passes, you have only once a month meeting, and then the duty of caring for one another continuously. So it is not so demanding in that sense. Do you know what I'm saying? You can do it well without affecting other things that you do. Yeah. Yes.
I think that what Bishop Saki has showed us is that we don't really care one for another. And I'm very happy about it because I've been struggling to formulate how to practically generate a caring church. Because I have people who have not been to church. If I don't call them, nobody calls them. Which is unfortunate. Because by the time my mind will come on somebody else, it's like some months have passed. And I get this a lot. Bishop, you are the only one who has called me. You are the only one who has called me. You are the only one who has checked on me. And I feel that I've felt for many, many months, it's not a good thing. It cannot be that if a person doesn't attend a service, it's like nobody has asked. And you hear me often using expendable, that the person is expendable. Because he didn't come to church, nobody took notice. And sometimes, if you are not active in a region and you don't have an aggressive regional overseer, you will just get lost. And sometimes for months, that's why this IMCL, you will see that there are people who have not been to church. If you like, make a list. Nobody has called them in the last 2 months that they've not come. If it's not been well for whatever, it doesn't occur. It's like you are forcing to get new people, and you are forcing to keep the ones you have and the ones who are active. So if you are not, like we have premier people, like people who are not in a certain sense, that not that they feel good, but they don't really. You preach how they are is how they are. They come to church on Sundays. Such people, if they miss a Sunday, two Sundays, if you are not careful, you the pastor may not think of the person immediately for some time. And then the person just gets lost or feels that nobody cares. So what Bishop Saki is showing us is that irrespective of your basanta, your region, you are in a church. Do you understand? And I think that everybody in the church, whether you are spiritual or unspiritual, by all means, you were born in a particular month. Even like Bishop Saki said, if you don't have a date of birth, official one, we can create one for you. We just look at your height, look at your skin texture, and touch your bones. When we feel that your bones are very strong, say you are around 35. And then we create a date of birth for you. So because we are already on earth, it cannot be that you are not born. You are born already. So find a date and pinpoint that this is the date I was born and use it. Nobody can catch you. Do you understand? And I think that it brings care, like what he's saying, checking up on. I mean, it's not even much. Looking out for somebody, it doesn't take much. It's a phone call. And if it comes from somebody from the Basanta, or it comes from somebody from the month, or it comes from somebody from the region, we are being cared for. And I think that's, to me, a revelation that I'm very excited about. Honestly, I am so excited about, because it is the care. But you people who are in this region, you don't care for anybody else in the church. Do you see? Only you and your regional members are the ones you are caring for. Those who are in the center, but center area fellowship. That's it. After that, even today I was telling us, so our old people that we are used to, let's bypass them. I was showing him, this person who has come, deep sea fishing. This person who has come. But it's like, I don't know whether such people I'm pointing out belong to any region. Mm. They will not belong to anything.
Yeah.
But who will care for them? Mm. At least what Bishop Saki is explaining is that even if you come to church for the first time and you want to be a member, you have not decided to join choir, rap stars or anything. But as for month of birth, you have one. And you can immediately have a pastor or a group of people, not even just a pastor, a group of people, and one of them will be in charge of looking out for you. And if he calls you, he doesn't get you, and we do this thing like he keeps saying, if we do it properly. Because what it is, anytime we are giving something new, you know, you just look at it. Like somebody said, things come and go. Let's stay with what we know. So it's almost like, this thing is a new thing to that is coming. I'm sure that it will finish, end up in the same way. You know, and okay, all right, we have heard. So you will not do it properly. But what he's explaining has helped him build a church here, built a church here, built a church, and he's still building churches in different places, which means that it is working. I don't know if you're, and you say you have 60 people, but 60 people for how many years? You say you have 120 people for how many years? So whatever, wherever we are now, we are telling ourselves, we are not satisfied. Uh-huh. We are content, but we are not satisfied. So we are reaching out for higher things, and we are going to do greater things for God. It will make you who are a bit tired and retiring, maybe some small fire will come into you, and then we'll go forward. So,
wow. Beautiful. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Bishop Adia has capped it. I think it's beautiful. Bishop, want to say something?
Yes, I just wanted to ask if there was any rewarding system for the monthly thing. If maybe at the end of the year, maybe this month group has done very well. Was there anything like that?
No. What we used to do, which I believe that it's also quite something that at a point I stopped, is sometimes we give offerings, special offerings, month of birth offerings. And that is for the whole, not for any particular person. January, February, and then so who has won? Like Kofi Nama, but that's just for entertainment. You know what I'm saying? And so who, sometimes, when January bonds, they are losing, someone will bring $200. I add it to that, and it's a healthy competition. That brings a certain type of excitement once in a while. But that is not what we are sticking with. We are more interested in the care. Do you follow? Care for people and care for one another. That's very important. The last thing about this month of birth thing is that now April bonds, you know, everybody's supposed to invite any new people to church, but you April bonds, it's your special time of giving God a gift by bringing a soul. So if nobody does it, the month of birth, next month is May. So May people is your month of evangelism. You're born in May. You're going to go out together. So bring people as a gift to God for blessing you with another year. That's your birthday gift to God. I mean, saying thank you to God for giving you a brand new year. Is it doable?
Yeah.
Is it doable?
Yeah.
We are not asking you to bring a crate of Fanta. All we ask you is to bring a soul, two souls. And especially when it is celebrations, so the last Sunday when we are cutting cake. Invite your friends, your classmates. I'm having a special celebration on my birthday.
The month, the last Sunday of the month, I was born. So I invite all of you to come. And if you do, you will discover that every time, every month, there will be a large number of people who will come because the people who were born in that month are specially doing evangelism to bring new people to the church. Say amen. And that's a little requirement that God is demanding of you. That because I've looked after you, please, bring me some souls. 2 souls, 3 souls. Just for the month that you are born. And if you take it up seriously, you discover that the church will have new people all the time. And God will bless us. Amen. May God help us. Amen. May God be gracious to us. Amen. And may God cause us to be fruitful. Amen. In the ministry he has given us. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
And I believe there are going to be many more things we have shared, but I believe that we've talked enough for now. Say amen.
Amen.
And I believe that God gives another opportunity. Bishop, thank you so much for this privilege and this opportunity given me to share these few things with my friends. And I believe God is going to be gracious to us and God is going to help us. And we are going to have great rewards for the work. Our church will never diminish. It will grow and increase and multiply. We'll see numbers we have never seen before. And God's grace will be abundant in our lives. May God keep you and use you for the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, what a blessing. What a word at this time. And I think that after here, we must all get together and within each of our branches come up with how to practically take off with these beautiful guidelines for church growth. Additional. I mean, I see many additions to what we are doing, and we must do it well. And we must do it well so that God also breathes upon what we have done and blesses his work. We cannot remain the way we are. Do you understand? Going, June will come. How you were in December. That's how you were in June 2023. And December or December 2022. Do you see? You've been like that. As we are going, you are still the same. At a point, something must change. Otherwise, you become an orangu. Because at a point you start criticizing the system. They are using us. They are taking our money. They are taking our time. We now don't have time for Sundays to have lunch with our families. Now they are stressing us. We don't know what to do again. You see, so you must always go forward. This is to help us to advance always and not to stay at the same place. And I think that we are going to have that. I see that in Ashalebuche. You are going further and further and further and touching. You write a letter to your Jerusalem. Every house, whether they like it or not, there must be a letter from you to the houses. At least they cannot say that if you can't, because many homes you can't even enter the house with your physical presence, but your letter can enter the place. Is it a good idea? And I believe that God will bless us. Bishop Saki has shared so many practical things that he has tried and proven. Do you see? He has tried and tested them. And we all know, we all see. We see the numbers, we see the photos, and we see the effect. You see it when you arrive there. Do you understand that this is work that is really going forward? So in our churches too, it must be so. And it will be so in Jesus' name. I see you crossing every numerical barrier you have never broken. You break all your records. Every number you used to have as your best, you have crossed it. Times 2. So if you are 100, you have crossed 200. If you are 450, or on paper is 500, but in reality is 450 in attendance. You cross 900. Yes. Centers and regions that you have become an overseer. You call yourself general overseer. Like Adeboye. When Adeboye is coming as GO, you are also coming as GO. Hey! But now when you are arriving as a Jew, you'll be coming with your numbers, powerful numbers. If you were 120, you have crossed 240. If you are 300 in your region, you are crossing 600. That's what we are talking about. So that by the end of the year, even as you look back, you say, wow, the Lord has blessed us. And we give him all the praise. Clap for Jesus. Thank you. Bishop E. A. T. Saki. For such a wonderful time of fellowship with you. And we know that this will not be the last. Anytime you pass through Ghana, know that you are welcome here. Anytime you pass through Accra, even if you cough small, we'll just gather so that you can cough more on us and impart something on us. What a blessing. God bless you also.
We believe you have been challenged by this powerful leadership session with Bishop Eddie Addy. God richly bless you.